Good morning, Carborough and Chapel Hill. This is Wilp's Wake Up Call. Wilp being the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. And if you don't know about us, we're moving into our 75th year in this community. Started in 1935, we're proud to say. And we have a couple of our friends here from the NAACP, which is celebrating its 100th year and are having a convention as we speak in Hickory. So our guests are Supinda Keith and
Kevin Hicks.
Kevin Hicks, I was going to get that. And Kevin Hicks, who with different last names are married and are parenting, hold your hats, 8 children, which is a blessing and a challenge. I think, Supinda, you said it was like the what family? The Brady Bunch or something.
Thank you, Lori. Yeah, we are a blended family.
Yeah.
We're lucky to be one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And that, you know, there's things to be said for smaller families. It's a little easier in some ways, but I raised 5 children myself, and there's a lot to be said for a big family because the kids certainly have a lot of interaction and entertaining of each other. It's not like some little kids sitting around, what am I going to do? You know, there's always things to be thinking about with for the kids and the parents. And because of their love for children and work with their own children, Supinda and Keith have been very involved in education and caring about all children in this community, which was so fortunate that you moved here about 4 years ago and getting involved. So if you want to tell me, maybe start out with you, Keith. I think one of the things is this, when you moved here, it not being what you expected.
Right, we looked at, you know, we did our normal homework and reviewed demographics from the North Carolina school, high school, or not the high school, but the school report card, and we looked at the scores, and they were pretty good. So that's what prompted us to move here.
Mm-hmm.
I had a job that moved me here, and I was working in Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
Supinda at the time was working at Lowe's, and I was taking the hit and doing the 50-mile commute then.
Oh, boy.
So, and
no
that
fun.
Way she could ride her bike to work and and be green. So after the Lowe's job ended and my job ended in Clayton, thankfully, I took a job in RTP, which is much closer. I can ride my bike to work.
Really?
Yes. It's a good thing.
It's not that close, but I know other people do that too, and mm-hmm. Good for you.
So, yeah, it was quite a surprise after a year being here that the report card doesn't display the underlying movements or underlying current that's in the child in Chapel Hill.
Yeah, so a really glowing-looking report card, and then you get to see the underneath dark side of that we're not as progressive here as we like to tout ourselves to be. And
right.
Especially in education, there are kids who are not getting what they need. So maybe you could talk a little bit more about...
Well, what surprised us was... One of our children, well, all of our children that were in elementary school were part of a gifted program in Georgia. Now, Georgia's standards weren't up as high as North Carolina's. As a matter of fact, I learned this year or last year that Georgia was adopting North Carolina's curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
But the children were in gifted, so the policy was that if you're in gifted in another school district, that you come in and gifted into the new school district. We were told that they would be monitored and that there was a system in place to catch them and move them toward the gifted program. So we did our patience movement, and it turned out that after substantial scores that no one was flagging our children as being gifted. And we also, that's jumping ahead because, you know, last year our middle school daughter got straight A's and one B throughout the whole year. We had a competition that if you get straight A's, you get $100, and she was breaking the bank.
Sounds good.
Yeah, it was great. But all last year, she was not flagged as being gifted. And even this year, they're saying that, well, there's weights to her classes that they have to, you know, add up the scores. And while that's probably true, when we talk to the people who are trying to fix the system of gifted children, we're told that parents that come into the school district should check their child as gifted, no matter if they're gifted or not. That way, the school district will have to decide whether they're gifted or not and put them through their rigorous testing, as opposed to the school district doing what they're supposed to do and locating these children. That's what the gifted ed specialist is for.
Yeah.
So, not jumping ahead, we got involved. The children were involved with some racial slurs, we were going to decide to move back to Atlanta, thinking that it was a bad idea to move here. Our children weren't subjected to that in Atlanta.
I'm sorry to hear that. Yeah.
Well, we had a family meeting with all the older children, and they said that, well, no, we'll stick it out. It's a good school district. We'll put in the effort and we'll ignore the undercurrent, and we'll focus on our grades. So that's when we became involved with Robin McMahon and Global Connections. The first year we saw the Global Connections at Smith Middle School was a wonderful program where they celebrate the cultures of the communities. And at the time, one of the teachers was involved. She's married now. I'm sorry, I can't remember her name.
It's okay.
But she was really involved, and there was a great program for the African-American and Latino children. The next year, it was a little bit more scattered because she was getting married. She was not as involved, and the other parents, as things occur, the party broke up. The parents weren't as engaged anymore.
Mm-hmm. Is this the AVID program?
No, the AVID children have their part in a performance, and the other children elect to do a performance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the following year that we were really put aghast was where the children were all up on stage doing various things and not in uniform or moving in uniformity. And we were looking at each other and another parent saying, this is not a true representation of the African-American children or the Latino children.
Yeah.
And we're you know, not put up against, but this is a showcase of talents.
Yeah.
And Asian children, they go to Asian school and they study the dance.
Yes.
We have the German representation from teachers, and everyone's performance was pretty structured, except for the other two focus groups.
Okay, so the Asian children go to some kind of an Asian after-school thing from
public
school.
Well, the culture is pretty strong here.
Yeah.
And so they have the uniform, not the uniform, but the costume wear. They have fans for fan dancing. It's a wonderful presentation if you can make it out.
So you got to see that the African-American children were not getting the preparation and training that the other kids were getting, and therefore were not looking as good, and it's pretty upsetting when you know that they could do really well.
Right, I wouldn't call it training, but guidance.
Guidance, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some structure.
Yeah.
Just so it's a presentation, so you want to look as good as possible.
Yeah.
So we committed to help out. And the following year, we talked with Robin McMahon, and she worked with us, and we got some children together, and we put on a good performance. It was so good that we redid the performance at Estes Middle School, and we took those children in a leadership capacity to Estes, and they taught the elementary school students and guided them through the performance, and we did that at the African American Heritage Night.
Oh, that's wonderful. And I think, Sapinda, I can see you just wanted to get a word in here.
I think, Lori, what we were looking at, now this is already now into our third year when we did this performance.
Yeah.
You know, when we got here, you know, we started piecing together things that were missing. You know, we couldn't understand why there weren't more children of color in the gifted programs. We
yeah.
couldn't understand why we weren't seeing our African American and Latino kids in the choruses, in the bands. You know, our children were in those things, but they were one of maybe two
mm-hmm.
in a whole grouping. And then our children couldn't understand, why are we the only ones, or what's going on?
Yeah.
And so we started piecing some things together and looking at, okay, there's something else going on here. And then when we went to the Global Connections, we realized that, you know, here's a group of children that want to do something. There wasn't much guidance.
Mm-hmm.
People really stepping to the plate to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
And we went ahead and we did the show just as two parents, just saying, hey, let's
yeah.
do something wonderful. These kids are awesome. Let's
yeah.
do a show the community what they can do.
Yeah.
So as we started putting these things together, one of the important pieces that we wanted to do was we started to realize that a lot of the children, especially in the African-American community, seemed very disengaged. And that was very alarming for us. We couldn't understand why. So one of the things that was really important for these middle school girls was to be able to have a leadership role and a mentorship role and do something amazing that the kids around them could look at them and say, wow, you guys did a great job.
Yeah.
We know you had it in you. This
yeah.
is awesome.
Yeah.
So by taking them to the elementary and letting them work with a group of elementary students, that really was so huge for these middle school girls.
Yeah.
Again, because, you know, it's kind of tough to be an African-American kid in this district.
Mm-hmm.
The test scores are horrendous, you know, and so moving through this process for 3 years, all the while trying to keep our own children above board, and, you
mm-hmm.
know, we felt like we were having to advocate for our own kids. Of course we would, were their parents. But if our children were at the point of being considered gifted or even borderline, you know,
mm-hmm.
high GPAs, straight A's,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're doing everything they're supposed to do, and we were almost tug of war with, you know,
mm-hmm.
the district trying to have our voices heard, we started mm-hmm. really thinking about, well, my goodness, what about the children who are so close to that point? The
yeah.
children whose parents have to work so much, the children who come from, you know, single parent homes, who
yeah.
parents, it's not that they don't want to, that they don't, you know, there's these mm-hmm. obstacles in the way that prevent them from really advocating for their kids.
Mm-hmm.
So that really was a red flag for us to think, you know, if this is sort of happening with our experience, and
yeah.
we work really hard to
and
stay,
you being so involved, what about when the parents are working so hard and can't be involved?
Right.
These kids might get lost or probably are getting lost.
Absolutely.
And were you able to engage some other parents to work with you? Because that seems like that's a key thing to help the situation.
Yeah, that's a good and surprising thing about it. If you see our website, www.chcpac.org, one of the pieces that are up there is calling all Lone Rangers, because there's a lot of people doing a lot of things in this community. I always say, if there's one thing that PACS is going to do, it's going to at least organize or connect the right people to the right resources.
Right. Now, what is that? What's it? Say it very slowly.
www.chc, as in Chapel Hill, Carrboro, chcpact.org.
Okay, so you have a website that people can go to, what you're calling the Lone Rangers, those who are trying to struggle or figure out all by themselves how to get connected and how to be connected with other parents and what resources are there to help them help their children. Is that?
Mm-hmm.
How long have you had this website going?
Since May.
May, so this is a relatively new thing.
All of it is relatively new.
Yeah.
It's,
your community organizers, Obama was just, you know, going to shine his light on you for this. This is great. Okay. Oh, I think it's time for me to take a little station break. Excuse me. Okay. We are underwritten by Internationalist Bookstore, 405 West Franklin Street. They have all kinds of books, and they will order any book you want. And you can go to internationalist.com. books.org for more information. And you may, if you're having difficulty getting our station, you can stream us at WCOMFM.org. Stream us live. Okay, there's also a Rolling Thunder number 8 release party, October 13th at 7:30 to 9 p.m. What is this? What's Rolling Thunder? It's a thing for WCOM?
No, it's Internationalist Books.
Oh, it's for Internationalist Books. Excuse me. Okay, so they're having, supporting having a Rolling Thunder number 8 release party. For info, call 942-1740 or visit the website, again, at www.internationalistbooks.org. And just want to let you know that WCOM has been on the air for 5 years now, and we believe that we have a great many avid listeners in the community. We are interested in finding out just how big our audience is. This is something I've wondered too. Who are we talking to? Will you please visit our website, WCOMFM.org. It's very easy, WCOMFM.org, and add your name to our listener list. We've also got a short survey on the website. Your feedback will help us better serve the community. Look for the links in the main menu on the left side of every page and stay tuned. And yes, and you can hear our previous radio shows by doing that. So everybody needs to support WCOM, because this is where we can talk about anything. There's no restraints here. Nobody's over our shoulder, you know. In this program, every Friday, we bring you some of the important issues of the day. And today we're speaking about one of the most important issues, and that's the education of our children. And that children, whatever color or ethnic group, that they get treated fairly and have equal opportunity. And what we know, without Supinda and Kevin being here, that that's not happening. And so we're talking about their, as they get to understand the situation, getting involved and getting a website and trying to get parents connected so they can be a voice, not a lone ranger, for their kid and the other kids. So we'll pick up from there.
Well, let me give you, I know we got scattered with the discussion. I kind of threw in our organization PACT in there and didn't tell you how that formed. After Global Connections, we were invited to a friend's Christmas Eve party, and that's where we met a good friend, Nancy. And
is it my good friend too, Nancy McDermott?
Yes, it's Nancy McDermott, yeah. And she is wonderful.
Yeah.
And along with her and Gwen Johnson, who assisted me in chairing the African American Parent Committee Group, and we joined forces, and Lee Moavenzida, we met her at a school board meeting, and she came with us. And then we have Myra Blackwell, who joined, Holly Lewis, who her husband's running for Senate. I mean,
wow.
Just all these people. That's why I said calling Lone Rangers, because these are people who have been doing things in the community already. And as like when my son, who's sitting right here,
I didn't mention our third guest, Malik, who is here supporting his parents and taking this all in. And anytime Malik wants to get his 2 cents worth in, we'll pass you the mic, Malik. Okay, go ahead.
So one of the beginning thoughts before PAC was formed was when we were introducing him into ninth grade, we were going through the open house, and a parent told us that he could have taken some summer classes, and that would have knocked out the small courses, and he can move on to his more beefier AP courses. And we said, that's great information. How could we find out about that? And she said, well, there's nothing written down. You just have to know it. And we felt that as parents, that's some information that all parents should know as rising ninth graders. So we decided to you know, that was one of the burgeoning thoughts of why we would form a parent organization as being a resource point.
Ferret out these tidbits of information that go by word of mouth, and if you're not in that loop, you're out of it.
Exactly.
You're not getting that information that could be really important to your child's success.
And one of the things that we found disturbing or confusing was the district's website. It was hard to navigate. And there were a lot of things that were outdated, and we brought that to their attention in a December school board meeting. It's hard to believe that we've only been in this for about 9 months.
Wow.
But, yeah, we discovered something, and we brought it to their attention. They've corrected it. They updated reports, and the minority student achievement was one of them. That's the one federal program that's focused on minority student achievement. And it was outdated for 4 years, while the gifted program was currently up to date. So that was a disparity that we thought it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
But since then, the school district has made corrections.
Well, you know, I think that's been a struggle in the past, and I don't know enough to really speak about it, but I do have some idea that, you know, where the school's resources go. And what children are going to, you know, in this community, there's a lot of very well-to-do, very connected parents, and they scream and yell if there's any change in the gifted program. That is, you know, and yet there's a lot of kids. I feel every child is gifted, and there's insufficient resources for those who need more help, where the kids who I'm thinking of, they have all kinds of outside resources. They may be going, you know, with their parents to Europe this summer or going to exciting places, but a lot of kids are not having that cultural enrichment. Sapinda?
Laura, you're absolutely right. You know, this is an extremely affluent community.
Yes.
And
let's face it.
You know, when we got here, you know, we did look at the demographics, and you know, I'm part Asian and thought it was exciting to move to Chapel Hill, so our children could be around more Asian families coming from Atlanta. You know, that we were, while they were in international schools, it was, you know, 50-50, 50% African American and then 50%, you know, other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we look at the community and we look at the district and we look at those test scores and the number of children that are in this district, over 30% are considered highly gifted. That's amazing. I mean, that's a wonderful accomplishment for this district. We have probably less than, you know, and I'm guessing 2,000 African American children in this district. We're not including the Latino kids. I don't know their numbers. It concerns me that our children are scoring at 30%, 40%, and 50% in all the elementary schools, in the middle schools, and the dropout rate for our African American males in the high school level is not good. And so when we look at the amount of resources in this district, the amount of wealth, and then that we are surrounded by some high institutions of education.
Yes.
It concerns us that we're seeing these numbers. And our position is while the achievement gap exists everywhere, you know, this is a nationwide problem. We just feel like it doesn't have to be a big problem. It doesn't have to be a problem anymore in Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
We have enough resources and enough of an educated community to jump in. And the number of children that we're talking about in comparison is really a small amount.
Mm-hmm.
So Kevin, I definitely feel like it's completely doable here.
This community could be a model.
Absolutely.
Because you're right, the numbers are not that big. And this is an unusually affluent community with the UNC right here, you know, the other institutions, UNC Greensboro, where they train teachers just down the road. I mean, it's challenging though, but that there is the possibility if you could break through these long established habits, you know, which people, they think they're doing okay. Sometimes they just don't get it. And it sounds like you two are out there to shake that, shake the tree there a little bit, the tree of knowledge.
Well, we feel like, you know, every child in this community can benefit from upliftment.
Yeah.
And we know that if the resources are available, and they are, it's a matter of where are those funds going and how are things being properly allocated. And while I think the district does do a fine job, I think that more can be done to address the needs of
our African American and Latino kids. Yeah. Coming here from Atlanta as an early childhood educator, one of the big missing pieces within this district was early child care for children of working poor and low income families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you are from an affluent family, you can, you know, your parents can afford for you to start going to preschool at 2 and 3 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Your exposure to language is at such an earlier age mm-hmm. that, you know, if our children in this community that are from our poor communities aren't getting that early education, what do you think happens when they turn 5 and they enter kindergarten? They're not on the same level. And that's where that gap starts.
That gap starts right there.
That
early intervention. And
absolutely.
We're going to have you guys back because we're just starting to open up this subject, which is such an important subject and one that this community has been suffering with and talking about and stuck with, seeming not able to break through, having an impasse to really show some progress. So in terms of that early education, in conjunction with Mike Cureton from Celebration Church.
Right. So Mike Cureton from Celebration Assembly of God, he had an idea a year ago to, he started working on a partnership with Binkley Baptist Church. And because he and I had been doing community work, our paths crossed and I said, well, wow, Mike, I'm in early childhood. Let me help you. So from February to July, we worked very diligently with Binkley and several other partners in the community to open up an early child care center at Binkley Baptist Church, where we can serve 44 children, and right now we're at 30. They are all low income, and while a lot of members of the community didn't think that we could do it, we're doing it. Our staff is highly qualified. We have an excellent director. And again, this is just that small piece that starts the bigger picture going in terms of addressing those needs.
Oh, that is absolutely wonderful. Well, we have only 2 minutes left. Thank you, Tana. So that people can maybe get more information and join your struggle to improve education for the kids who are being neglected, and they are being neglected in this community. You had that website. You want to say it again, Ken?
It's www.chcpact.org. PACT stands for Parents Advocating for Children Together.
Oh, that's wonderful. Parents Advocating for Children Together. And that is going to be what it takes, because that's why the affluent, the elites in this community, they are loud, they are connected, they know each other, and they, you know, at any time, and there's been attempts in the past to allocate the resources more fairly, they scream the loudest and they do have the money. And so it's if you get enough people organized, that can counteract that. Well, good for you. This is WILP's Wake Up Call, the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. We're having our monthly meeting tomorrow at the community church, 10 to 12, talking about sludge. And this is WCOM, LP, Chapel Hill, and Carrboro. Thank you for listening. Come back next Friday.